Hello, everybody, and welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're listening to Taylor Tech Stories. And today I have Ryan Porter here from Yacht Store on the show with us to tell us his career story. So I'll pass immediately to Ryan to introduce himself before we start right from the beginning of his career. But Ryan, if you'd like to just introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name's Ryan, as Bender said. I'm the co-owner of Yacht Store. Co-owner with a guy called Chris Cardona, and yeah, we're just streamlining the process of procurement for AVIoT technology in the industry, backed up by a smart e-commerce store.
Yeah, so we just had a little chat just before the episode where we had to stop and start recording I see where you're going and moving e-commerce forward, and what you're doing at the Yacht Store is actually really exciting. From an industry point of view, as well as an individual business. But let's rewind. So starting back from where you started out, where does it begin?
So unfortunately, I'm 36 now, but 20 years ago, I found my first set of side cutters and screwdriver, and I joined an apprenticeship scheme at a company called LEC Marine in Lowestoft. The company was... quite big at the time, done quite a lot of oil and gas and commercial shipping. I had an amazing apprenticeship. It was about just six years. When I went one day a week to college, managed to get an HND in electronic engineering. And I was in the switchboard offices, wiring switchboards, panel shop, building small control panels. Spent some time in the drawing office, which is really nice. And the bulk of the time was spent on trawlers, tugs, commercial shipping boats, repairing, installing, configuring any tech systems. So yeah, that's where I started off, and that's where it all began.
Right, so that's like kind of the basic skills, apprenticeship, learn. And
I think nowadays there's not that many that apprenticeship schemes, but 20 years ago, for me, I could go to college one day a week, learn my craft on the tools, and you couldn't beat it. A lot of guys I was doing the course with, they didn't have the hands-on stuff, and I was seeing it every day, feeling it and breathing it and eating it, and the guys were just doing it from the book, and I felt like I had a big advantage in the course. And worked my way up to the HND, which is a pretty decent qualification in the industry, and sort of from there left that marine industry slightly and wanted to go into the oil and gas. Just because that's where the money was, the classic 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, rig sparky, technician. Started pumping my CV around. And then one company just said to me, have you heard of super yachts? And I was like, because I follow football. And I was like, what do you mean? Like what some like Roman Abramovich has got? And they were like, that's it. So I was like, yeah, of course I do. They were like, well, what's it about? There's a project coming up in Barcelona to wire a bridge, a whole bridge refit. And obviously the background, working on boats, used to wire switchboards, make all the wires perfect and stuff. I was sort of made for that job. And then that was when I was 21. So then turned up, flew to Barcelona, dumped in the taxi on the middle of the Ramblers, super busy. And met this amazing old school Sparky. He was about coming up for a time, about 64, went under his wing for a little while. And then we've doing project after the project in Barcelona. So I spent a long time in MB92 from 21 to about 26 onwards.
Yeah. I'm such an advocate for this kind of, I suppose at the minute it's the oddball career route, because everyone's gone mainstream university. Like it's a huge thing now, or it certainly feels like that from my perspective. And a lot of the apprenticeships, as you said, have died down. But then you've got the skill set is now, I think it's more based around your ability to consume knowledge and demonstrating that in university rather than the practical skills and seeing it.
Yeah, definitely.
In hand and from personal experience. But then, so at this point, you've got your kind of your mentor, I suppose, from...
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And then how do things kind of progress? So you're starting with this bridge and you got ongoing projects. And are you liking it at that stage? Is that very much landed on
you? Yeah, absolutely loving it. You can imagine, can't you? British 21-year-old in Barcelona. Decent job, Warren Superyacht Bridge. Sort of thought I hit jackpot at the time. Loving life, loving Spanish life, like everyone does when they go there. Just thought I've found what I was supposed to do. The guy at the time was like the guy who took me under his wing was like Mr. Miyagi of Superyacht Electrics and Tech Systems. He's a guy, God bless his soul, God called Phil Last. He's not with us anymore. But he's anyone who's electrical in the industry would probably know him. He's a beast of a guy. And he's the guy who could walk on board a 70-meter yacht for a whole new refit. And he'd probably just walk, he'd have a half an hour walk around and go, I reckon it's about 1.7 million. he's that guy. He again, was a workaholic, but a real nice guy. So while I was out in Barcelona during that time, working on a boat called Titan, installing the TV lift. And next thing you know, this really good-looking stewardess comes along, starts asking what I'm up to. Obviously, me being a British, probably about 24, 25 at the time, was like, hell yeah, I'm in. Do you want to come for some drinks? So I went for some drinks. And next thing you know, 11 years later, we've been together ever since. We've got a little baby boy, Ray, who's 3. Been married for 4 years. She actually left yachting when I joined yachting, which is quite bizarre. And most people are crew, aren't they? And you go like the couple's crew position. And that's how a lot of yachties end up together. Probably won't even end up with each other in real life because they're stuck on a boat 24/7. They end up being partners. But mine was a bit weird just because she said to me, why aren't you an ETO? You know, you're on the board, you're a contractor. You're doing stuff that the guys aren't doing. And they're just telling you what to do and you're doing it. You know, like the ETO would say, like, this is the project I want. We come in, we knock it out, and then go to the next boat. So during them 4 or 5 years in Barcelona, I jumped on so many boats and so many projects. And she really enlightened me to the whole rotation life. You know, everything that a crew member gets the advantages of. Sort of seeing the world through a porthole. Lucky enough to see some of it in reality. And just progress all the way through being in ETO, which is a wonderful position for anyone who's interested in tech. It's sort of like the jack of all trades on board. For, you know, you're responsible for everything for wire and wireless. But at the same time, you need to have full in-depth tech conversations with the guy who's doing your network, the guy who's doing the engine electrics. Yeah, you know, all of that broad spectrum. You are the jack of all trades who needs to get and put firefight all the time. However, you need to be on that level, technical level, with all of these guys who are specific experts in them regions. So, yeah, went from there, joined the Amiri fleet, worked on a boat called Katara. I don't know if you know or not, she's a bit of a beast, 124-meter Lursen for the Amiri fleet. Worked on there for about 4 or 5 years and then ended up in Qatar for a while on a boat called Constellation. Worked on Constellation for a little while, left there, and then went to be the lead ETO for the whole fleet for just over a year. They got a lot of boats. So I was running that show there and then joined at the end of the build a boat called Lady S, Fedship 93-meter, absolute gem of a boat. One of the only boats with an IMAX cinema. The boss is super passionate. So really exciting project that was to work with the guys on the Lady S project. And that was a boat where no expense was spared. So someone like me joining in, who's passionate about tech, who's, like I say, I live, sleep and breathe it. Probably too much for my wife's liking. So working with that, like, no budget pretty much to just make the best boat that we could was a amazing project. And then from there, in between that, when I was doing that, I was on rotation. I was flipping between my ex-captains and old chief engineers. They were doing like projects, so I was more of like an AV consultant. They'd call me in to say, hey Ryan, can you just come in, have a look around the boat for a day, let us know what we need, let us know what we don't need, or we've had a couple of quotations, can you just have a look at them, What are your thoughts? So I was doing a bit of that on my off time, with the end goal of trying to step away from, keep going away from home. Obviously, got a new family at that time, a little baby boy. My missus, I'm lucky that my wife knows the score because she was a yachty. A lot of people in my position, engineers, their wives at home, they obviously, some of them aren't ex-yotties and some of them don't realise that maybe it is for a good future, you know, and maybe I'll work them back to back. But my end goal was always to be on land. That's where I am now, fortunately for me. So then started off being an AV consultant, and then my name was getting around a little bit and bumped into a guy called Dermot Crotty at E3. And then he said, hang on a minute, Ryan, we've got an amazing IT guy who's now starting up on his own. He's like head of IT for E3. And he is a Cisco wizard. And I think you guys would be an amazing team. So I was like, well, that sounds amazing for me. I'm an AV guy, pretty much. And he's an IT guy, complete the whole AV IT. So I called Chris out of the blue. He actually emailed me saying, hi, nice to meet you. My name's Chris. Dermot introduced me. Fancy meeting up. So we just got on the phone call and just hit it off from day one, really. Two strangers. Just thought, right, you can be IT, I'll be AV. We both consult together on projects. Started doing a little bit of that, and then it started getting a bit overwhelming. And then the boat started saying, can you buy materials?
Right.
We were like, of course we can. But then when we come to supply materials, we were like, this whole process is an absolute headache. I've been in the industry for 20 years. Chris has been in support in the industry for 15 years, and he's always saying that that is a nightmare trying to organize, get decent suppliers to sort out the whole procurement side, especially for businesses, you know. So then me being an ETO for X amount of years was like, oh, do you know what? I find it the same. Where do I buy a Motorola radio from? Where do I buy a Pepway from? Where do I buy a Cisco switch from? So that was all a bit like a mystery. And then when we tried to buy stuff, you needed to be certified, you need to be this, you need to be that. Because we had a good industry knowledge, we knew what we needed, but we just couldn't get our hands on it. So then that's where we decided, right, this is what we need to do. There's a real hole in the industry at the moment, and it's procurement, because it's so difficult to source, especially tech parts, like I was saying earlier. You get the one letter wrong on a Cisco switch and it's a completely different part, for example. So that's when we decided, actually, we'll back off from being more consultants and really grab hold of this procurement by the throat. And to back that up as well, not just doing the old school quote invoice PO, we then produced the e-commerce store. The e-commerce store will eventually... everyone will purchase through there. We still do the old school methods, quote invoice, etc. But eventually we'll drive everyone to the store and they will purchase everything through the store. So it's like exactly like Amazon for maritime tech with stuff you can't buy on Amazon. That also will give the customer complete overview, oversight of everything they've ever purchased, serial numbers, model numbers. And also a lot of the equipment comes with licenses as well. So the days of renewing your licenses, making spreadsheets, making calendar reminders, we take care of all that. The e-commerce store automatically reminds the customer that, hey Captain John, or hey, integrator, your boat XYZ is up for a renewal on the Curio next month. Here's a reminder. So then they make the payment. We do the upgrade. And then it's good to go for next year. So we just really lifted that weight off the integrator and got supplier. Yeah, so I think I said all there. I didn't even let you speak, Ben.
Yeah, good point. But it's so interesting hearing your whole story and how things build and progress. And then now you could look at Yacht Store from a kind of first viewpoint and go, right, okay, it's just a fairly standard e-commerce platform, but actually the backstory and what it takes to do what you're doing does actually really take the experience and the technical of the equipment and combine that with specialist super yacht industry knowledge, and the whole combination, it all starts to click together, doesn't it? And it starts to make sense.
We just took these grey areas. We just took the grey areas and the complications of buying it. And like, we're tech guys, and we're even getting confused. And like, how on earth could we get our hands on this stuff? And yeah, like I said, just said earlier, grabbed it by the throat and just literally got qualified in everything from Cisco to Peplink, Curio, et cetera, became certified engineers to back the equipment up for support as well. We're not just selling boxes and hiding away. We own that equipment all the way through, along with the integrator. Any problems, we'll jump online, we'll troubleshoot, we're certified like for Cisco, et cetera. And yeah, we're there all the way. We're not the traditional supplier of just selling a box as your problem. We'll sell support that box if the integrator needs so. We're like an extra layer of support. And some of these big brands, even though they're amazing like Cisco, sometimes it is hard to get technical support from them when the integrator can just say, hey, Chris, for example, because he's the Cisco wizard, I've got a problem here. Can you dial in, help me out? And we do that a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, and there's great tech out there to do that, especially in this scenario that we're in now.
But yeah, I know, yeah.
Look, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us your story. I wish you the best of luck. I believe you're currently in Barbados sorting out a particularly complicated install. So best of luck with that. And thank you to everybody for tuning in.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. You've been listening to Taylor Tech Stories here on Yachting International Radio. We will be back next week with the next episode. And I will see you there. Bye for now.